This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
See, I am the type of girl that's always wondered why people rode those really big roller coasters. Why the feeling of throwing up brought about some type of excitement that they did not receive on a regular day. Like when did feeling sick become equivalent to thrill? When did nausea become the X pill? I've always wanted to know why people rode those really, really big roller coasters. And I remember when I did. It's the butterflies and the fireflies fighting in my stomach.
Life between their wings.
I'm scared to fly.
Fly, fly, fly.
I might come down. Think I'm ready now. I'm getting back in line. I think it's the twist in the curve. Or it is the up in the swerve. It is smiling so absolutely wide. It is the feeling of my nerves on the front edge of their seats. Eyes are open. Tears are coming from the thrill of sight. And I am moving as fast as the light. And I am laughing. I'm laughing for no damn reason. And I'm screaming for everything I am. I know I shouldn't have said in that last fight. Roller coasters, it's like meeting God with a kite in your left hand. Strings are still twisted around your forefinger and your right hand. Man, your right hand is still busy gripping the safety ring. There is this moment when you feel like you're in an ocean of your own butterflies. That's the moment I got free. I let my arms fly. Fighting in my stomach.
Light between their wings.
Man, I'm scared to fly.
Fly, 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 fly.
I don't wanna come down. I think I'm ready now. I'm getting back in line. Brave.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the third episode of Speak Easy, the show that speaks easy about poetry. I am your host, Sheena Baharuddin, and accompanying me in the studio is my producer, Tina Carmelia.
Hello, hello.
Tina, how are you?
Very well, how are you?
I miss you. I only see you once a month.
That's right.
Looking great. Okay, so Tina, today we will be talking about space, more specifically, the creative space. Now, over the past 10 years or so, local spoken word artists have gone from having to search and share spaces at open mic gigs to making ones at public spaces. And now, as seen in the variety of monthly poetry events happening in KL and other cities in Malaysia, establishing their own spaces, both online and offline. Although it may not be the final frontier, creating, facilitating, and nurturing more creative spaces for poets and all types of artists to reflect, collaborate, play, and be stimulated remains an area that demands our attention and long-term commitment. Now, earlier, you were listening to Roller Coasters by Tank and the Bangas. Apart from being a musical ode dedicated to Jazzland, a New Orleans theme park that remained closed down after Hurricane Katrina, the song is also a metaphor of the child that lives in each one of us. Led by spoken word poet Tariona Ball, better known as Tank, this 2017 winner of NPR's Tiny Desk Contest is best known for their fresh, eclectic sound that merges different genres of music. Now, in the spirit of celebrating the experimental and the eclectic, we have Umar Azizi joining us in the studio today. Now, Umar is a writer, video photographer, performer, teacher, and event organizer. He has been featured at Onde Onde and KLPAC's Malam Sayuba Puisi and is part of the Poets Passport and Jacket Poetry Collective. Based in the Klang Valley, he is often spotted wandering around with his lutes and tin whistles, performing poetry, music, and theatre wherever and whenever he can. Welcome to Speak Easy, Umar Azizi. How are you?
Hi, Shina. Thank you for having me. I'm doing okay today.
Yeah, I can definitely attest to the fact that you do walk around with your flutes and your lutes.
Yeah. You have to always be ready to perform somewhere or other.
And I do love that. Whenever I see you, it does bring this whole image of the wandering poet, where you do make spaces. And I think you're one of the best person to talk to when it comes to the idea of making new creative spaces in Kuala Lumpur. But before we start talking about that, let's talk about you.
Oh, gosh.
Now, how long have you been performing poetry?
I guess I would say I've been actively performing poetry for around 2 years.
Okay. And before that?
Before that, I dabbled in theatre and mostly writing it. So I've been writing it for much longer than performing. I've also gone into, more of the tech side. So I take care of props, lights, and sounds for different kinds of shows, for theatre, poetry performances in my campus and university, and a few quiet, small events outside of my university life.
Right. And then when you left UIA, was that when you started doing poetry?
I started while I was studying.
Okay.
So in my final year, I found myself wanting to perform in different spaces, get to know the communities around wherever. And so I just went out to perform.
Ah, okay. Now, I just mentioned UIA, and that is the International Islamic University of Malaysia.
Yes.
Which is my alma mater, Tina Camellia. That's where I came from as well.
She's my senior.
Yes. You're my junior. I feel so old right now.
How much of a senior?
I will. That's her story to tell.
A very long time ago. Okay. So when you started performing poetry, you said that you started performing poetry when you were still on campus. Mm. And then after you left the university, how was that journey? How was the transition?
I guess it was kind of harrowing. I wanted to know how people do things to a certain extent. Before I went out, I did not know how an open mic even looked like.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I wanted to share. So before I went out to see other open mics, I was doing this open mic thing in campus,
mm-hmm.
which we called Pujumpa Makhluk Seni. And it was just me figuring out how to get performers as frequently as possible a chance to perform, a dependable way for them to practice their art and at the same time perform it. So because if you were to do a theatre show, it takes just too long to practice to do one show, to train a set of people, whereas an open mic gives you that monthly chance to do so. So I went out to the open mic that I found out from a friend, and it was If Walls Could Talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there for the first time. I was blown away. I love that they have at the end of it a featured act that you can learn from because they are good at their craft. And then from there, me and my friends, the Mic Jackers, we went out to perform whatever we could, and a group of three of them, Afi, Davita and Nadia. Afi first, he pushed to do Jacket, and then Nadia and Davita helped out to make it the monthly thing it is now.
Okay, and was it easy to find the space for your poems to breathe and grow?
At the beginning, no. I mean, at the beginning of my poetry journey, there weren't many open mics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that growth or that explosiveness of open mics, honestly, I feel started around last year.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, there was only Walls, and then maybe the one-off occasionally open mics that were happening. It was kind of hard, too, because even if there was, the lineup would fill up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So on my side, I wanted to do things in my area, which is the Gombak Melawati KL side, and that's what I'm doing now.
All right, so the fact that now you are providing the avenues to create more spaces through the project that you are doing right now, which is the Perjumpa and Makhluk Seni,
yes.
which we'll be talking after this, is it something that you did because of the gap that you see happening, existing in the KL scene?
I would say yes. I felt that a lot of opportunities were centered around PJ,
mm-hmm.
And as much fun as it is to drive for half an hour to 45 minutes all the way to into the heart of KL where everything's happening, it kind of feels nice to be able to drive 5 minutes to your neighborhood to do something.
Right.
So it feels more at home when it's closer to you, which is why I started with a few friends, Jalan Dalam, happening at Melawati. I still do my best to push for PMS, but the alma mater that I used to go to, IUM, now has their own brands of their own open mics that they do. So I'm happy with that. And they are more accepting to poetry and different art forms together. But yeah, it's just, it feels nicer to know that something's closer to you. And that's why I kind of want to share with other people the fact that you can simply just do an open mic wherever you are. It shouldn't be that hard to find one.
Okay, I find that very interesting because when I first started doing spoken word poetry about 10 years ago, there was no spaces at all. You really have to go and crash and basically mic check. Mm. But now, as you have mentioned over the past 2 years, you tend to have definitely more spaces to do that. So I was a bit fascinated by the fact that you said that now this boom of spaces are only happening over the past 1 year or so.
I feel so. I mean, in the beginning, there were a few, but I won't mention that because those open mics were really weird. So it's a combination of having to face weirdly organized events. I'm okay with weird concepts and the format, but like when it's just the event itself is, for lack of a gentler word, weirdly managed event. That's why I felt like I would like to see people, talk to them, and if they want to do their own thing, I don't mind talking and telling them what I know on how to organize an event, because at best it should be local. There should be so many open mics, people can be like, oh, I want a tour one day, let's see what open mics are on, and then there'll be like 10-15 to choose from, like, okay, I can do a tour now.
Right. Well, we do have to keep in mind, as you know, spoken word poetry scene, especially in the Klang Valley, is only 10 years old. I mean, you need to make a lot of mistakes in order to improve on yourself further, as well as on our scene.
True.
Yeah, but coming back to you though, Omar, you have performed for 2 years.
Yes.
Has your style changed?
Has my style changed for the past 2 years? The answer is yes. I still remember my first few shows because I'm a literature student, literature graduate, thank God. I started as a literature student and I still remember the first shows I did. This specific style, which is nervous, haven't memorized or stare at phone, and then mumble, because I do that. I usually, when I speak, at that time, I would mumble and I would speak super fast. Even if you're listening now, I might tend to go that way if I'm getting nervous. So the tell is, if I speak fast, that means I'm nervous. But yes, that was then. And I guess now I am a lot more comfortable performing, so I don't speak too fast. Rather, I will perform fast because it's intended. I do want to do that. I've incorporated music and a bit of theatrics to my performances. The theatre part has always been there. My first performance ever, outside and in the KL scene, was actually a monologue from a theatre piece that I wrote. And then I saw spoken word poets performing on these stages. And I'm like, wait, huh, I actually like that. I'm going to try to do that. Oh, gosh. And then that's the travel from just writing poetry that sounds like a literature student writing poetry to poetry that sounds like Uma's writing poetry. So I guess along the way, I found my voice, which I'm thankful for.
Okay. And do you think that over the next few years, that might change as well?
Most probably. I am getting into different stuff. So, like, I think I'm a full-time part-timer. A full-time part-time freelancer, right. I guess. So, like, I enjoy doing that because I know that I work with interests in things I am interested in. It's too long and I won't enjoy it as much. So, right now, I'm going into photography, videography, and, like, software usage. So, how to edit stuff. And I think maybe in the next year or two, my performances probably will change. I hope to go into more visual. I want to hone on the visual parts of my performances also.
Okay, right. What do you usually write and perform about?
I am the eldest child who has third culture, which is basically that you don't feel like you belong because I was born in England, raised in Malaysia, speak English, but in Malay communities, and it just feels like you don't really belong in any of those things. And just struggling young man. I also write a lot about fatherhood because I have things with my father, which I will not mention. And also, I write about being the eldest child. I have a poem called The First Child is Not the Third Parent in a Family. A lot of sulongs in Malaysian family structure is given a lot of responsibilities, right, and they have to grow up too fast. So I write about that too.
Yeah.
And then I write about anything else.
Yeah, I'm the eldest as well. I totally relate.
You can't see, but I'm going to offer her a fist bump. Yay.
There you go, fist bump right there. All right, thanks.
The youngest, oh gosh.
Are you, Tina? Hello, Adi. All right. Coming up right after this, Umar Azizi will be sharing with us his initiative to create more creative spaces in the Klang Valley through the means of makhluk seni. You are listening to Speak Easy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
The revolution was not supposed to be televised. It was actually streamed instead. Though our bandwidth sometimes could not band together, we did not abandon it, but instead we unified under an alliance, hoping that our voices would not just be an echo, traveling carelessly through the void, but also a beacon, drawing us closer. Merapatkan saf kita, tegakkan bahu dan bersuara, kau akan dengar suara kami. They say action speaks louder than words. So I give you my bruised finger, bukti yang aku tahu maksud amanah, maksud yang kau mungkin dah lupa, but we remember ketika aku mencari paksi pendirian sendiri, dan sedar betapa ironiknya bila dacing dan keadilan membawa maksud berlainan, and how whistleblowing is considered treason, but seeking donations are a step for a better nation. There were others who said our voice won't matter, that I should just give this a pass, but sorry, aku tak boleh nak pass lagi. Peluang warisan nenek moyangku, tanah tumpahnya, darah mereka, fertilizing our right to take back our nation into our own hands. This shouldn't have been a battle of generations, but a battle for the future of the nation. But the elders insist that we know nothing. Aku dah lebih makan garam, they say. But in biology, that is how you get darah tinggi. So we cast aside our ego as we cast our hopes, because ini kali lah, bila lagi. But, you know, I don't call myself a nationalist, but I can make a national list of things I love about this country. So don't underestimate our love, don't assume our past silence as apathy. Harimau mana terkam berbunyi?
Welcome back to Speak Easy. I am Sheena Bahardin, and also in the studio is my producer, Tina Carmelia.
Hi.
You just listened to a poetry performance by KL-based spoken word artist Arif Nakiyuddin. Now we are talking to spoken word poet and founder of Makhluk Seni, my brother in verse, Umar Azizi, on his journey into the Klang Valley's performing arts scene. So let us talk about this project of yours, because we're talking about creative spaces. Mm-hmm. Now, what is Makhluk Seni?
Oh gosh. So Makhluk Seni, at its core, it's belief. It's a belief system. It's what I called myself and those who I meet along the way who do not know what to call themselves when they perform. Because I do poetry, but I also do a bit of music, a bit of theatre, and a bit of artwork, and a bit of everything. And it comes to the point where if someone asked me if I was a poet, I would say, I'm a makhluk seni. I believe that everyone is a makhluk seni. That if you have something that you believe in, mm-hmm. then that thing you believe in is your art. And as such, you are a makhluk seni. That stems from me being a third culture kid. But as a functional thing, it's a group where people can come together as organizers, performers, and collectives to mm-hmm. just share your knowledge and share your art and perform together, just speak and communicate.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Nowadays, you have people, you know, you do poetry, but that shouldn't stop you from doing any other genres of performing arts. Mm-hmm. And I totally understand why you decided to go with something that is called Makhluk Seni.
Yes.
Which is translated into?
Makhluk Seni means creature of the arts.
So Makhluk Seni is open to everyone. So it's a collective?
Yes, it's open to everyone. We're trying our best to make sure it's accessible to everyone too. Mm-hmm. So right now we're working on a website for it. We do have a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and YouTube account. All of it and the same name. It's all Makhluk Seni. And currently we have opened up so that anyone who wants to collaborate with us, they can. They just have to contact us through the social media or DM us or just call. We've put my number there so they can just call me and we can talk.
And when did you start out with this Makhluk Seni initiative?
I guess it would be in my second final year of my student life. I hosted an open mic there, and it was called Perjumpaan Makhluk Seni. So I did not know it then, but I felt that open mics shouldn't be one thing. Mm. I felt that it should be a multiple different things, so people can be inspired by each other's art and then work on it. Sometimes I go to open mics or even events, and I find that a song or a theatre piece or a poem is really inspiring, and I write immediately on it because I feel that that's something I want to write on. And so that open mic called Perjumpaan Makhluk Seni was that. People came in from different art forms and we hosted all of it together in a safe space so that they could perform rap, poetry, spoken words. We had one person just standing with glow lights on them and they became an impromptu model / slice of life thing, which we were like, oh, this is weird but really cool. Mm-hmm. The photos were amazing. So I guess it would be around 4 years ago. Right. Started off as an event, then as a way to call each other, and finally now it's a group collective thing.
All right, so you are the founder of Makhluk Seni.
Yes, I just don't like saying that, but yeah.
Okay. Okay, and then now, how many people are part of Makhluk Seni?
I guess I can say it's core team that I currently specifically work with to do Makhluk Seni events. I have around 4 people to hold the events that we've planned for the end of this year and the coming next year. But there are also different spin-off groups that I've met and worked in the past, and then they came together and then they formed their own brands and their own structure to better serve their communities. Right. I believe in hyperlocality. You should be local to where you're from.
Right.
And work with the communities you have. It doesn't make sense to be Makhluk Seni and everyone in whole of Malaysia, all your events are under Makhluk Seni. I would die. I am only one person. I'm only very much mortal. So
right.
I just want to be there to help you grow. If you want to call your event something Makhluk Seni, I am appreciative. But all I ask is that if you brand or whatever one, you tell other people of this, that you should believe in what you do. And then share it and spread it.
Yeah, the one thing that I find very interesting is this idea of, what did you mention? Hyperlocality? Right. So, yeah, for sure. I mean, whenever you think about the current gigs that we have, yes, as you have mentioned, it's basically focused in one part of the Klang Valley only. And it would have been so good. I think it will be so ideal. Let's just say if I live in Taman Desa and then you have an open mic in Taman Desa and somebody was in Ampang, start something in Ampang, then it'll be well spread out. Then you can actually say that there is a community.
Yes.
Of artists performing out there. You can just go.
Yes.
And have a look at what's happening in the next neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the idea of Makhluk Seni.
Yes.
Ah, that's nice. What do you think, Tina?
I come to it as an audience member, right? Because I don't perform, but I'm a huge supporter of the scene. But it's nice to move around and not be in the same spot or even to not see the same performers too frequently, right? And I think location also gives you different vibes. Even if it's a performer that you've seen in a certain location before, being embedded in a completely different community might, you know, influence them in a different way. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't visited the one in Melawati. That's called Jalan Dalam, right?
Yes.
Right? So I'm sure because the audio that you listened to just now, the performance by Arif Nakiuddin, it's basically organized by Makhluk Seni.
Hmm.
So the feel is completely different. I feel like it's more lepak, more casual.
Yeah,
and that's really good.
Yeah.
Maybe we should go, Tina, and have a look at how it goes, right?
Please do. Please call them by their group name. It's Jalan Dalam.
Jalan Dalam,
yes. It's the event and their group name.
Right. Okay, great. Now, let's talk about another thing which really got me into the idea of actually inviting you to Speakeasy, because you actually received funding from the INXO. I thought it was INXO, and then I checked out on your website. It's INSHO, the INSHO Arts Fund, which is basically a launch pad that is used to accelerate broader artistic participation among new and young artistic talents in the region. And Makhluk Seni is one of the receivers of that funding.
Yes.
Yeah, please explain. How did that happen?
I saw the letter for applications and I sent them a few proposals. And the one that they approved was PMS Year.
Mm-hmm.
And in that proposal, I said that I would like to be able to get some funding to purchase equipment so that people who are just starting out can use that equipment to do their open mics and at the same time travel to meet people and collaborate with them and help them host their own Perjumpaan Makhluk Seni. And the reason why I say that and not open mic is because I want them, the people I meet, these communities that want to do something, for them to gather and be active, to create an event that's crafted for them. And I don't want to shove them down their face like, okay, just do open mics and just do poetry. Ideally, there's a space for poetry there. As a poet, I want that. But like, I do want to see different forms of open mics, different forms of event.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't just go to the same old open mic, okay, here's our next performer, here's our next performer, and again and again and again.
Right.
It gets a bit tiring. So like, it would be cool, let's say, for example, if I met a group of chefs who wanted to do an event. So they made an open mic cooking event. So as someone cooks, you do an open mic performance, and then you have an open mic performance where you cook. And it's like, at the end of the poems, suddenly the food's already done.
Right.
So that can only happen when people feel that they can create something as silly or as weird or as unstructured as they feel it is. Because until it has been done, you can't say for sure.
It actually reminded me of this event that I was reading about. It's somewhere in Europe where they had this music show. It's an orchestra, one of those classical music.
Mm-hmm.
But they pair it up with scent as well as food. So the food that you taste as well as what you are smelling, it's basically personalized to the sort of music that you was listening, that you were listening to. And I think that's so good. This idea of going to a performance and it is multi-sensory.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than the usual, you know, you go to something, you expect, let's just say if it's music, and you're just sitting there and just listening to music, which is completely fine. There is nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
But it's good to have variety, isn't it? That'll be good. I would love that. Can you find those group of chefs to do that? That'll be awesome.
I'm talking to one of the chefs, yes. But we're still looking for more. So if you're listening and you're a chef and you have a space, do tell us.
Perfect. So you use the funding to help people who want to start their own event.
Yes. So like with the fund that we have, we hope to meet these groups and we want to like at least give them enough to start and get the word out. And hopefully roll it forward. So as how we use it, we hope to make it seed money for the event itself. Sometimes the difficulty is that to do an event, it's financials. Mm-hmm. Somewhere or other, someone has to pay something. So we hope that we can help foot the bill first and then make it roll over so that we can then get the fund back to give to another group and just keep that moving as long as we can.
Right. And then based on your experience of curating events and also mm-hmm. organizing events and helping those who want to start with their own events, what do you think is the biggest obstacle?
Finding your team.
Hmm.
Because some of the events I've done, I have, to be honest, not to blow my own horn, but it was a one-man army.
Hmm.
You can, with the right tools, right apps, right programs, and the right structure for your for what you can do with your capabilities, you can pull off an open mic. You can pull off a concert. Mati, Music Arts Theatre Inspire, is an event that I placed above open mics below show concert. It's mm-hmm. something that I feel would be great for newcomer performers to get on stage with others and then basically incorporate the whole different art forms on one stage. Without a team, though, it's easy for you to burn out or feel discouraged.
Mm.
And if you have the team that you can talk to, in the very least, at least talk to, you can still do the things yourself, but at someone to talk to and share this, it makes it much more easier because
right.
then it becomes real. If you think about it in your head, it's still there in your head. But you have someone to talk to, it just becomes a bit more tangible for you to hold and make into reality.
And then because we're talking about creative spaces, right? So through events like the ones that are organized, the gathering that are organized by Makhluk Seni, the Perjumpaan Makhluk Seni,
mm-hmm.
then how do you differentiate that? Is there some sort of a line between artists meeting up and perhaps just those who are there to watch and be entertained or be stimulated?
There are a few different thoughts about this. Some people believe the audience is the fourth member in a three-cast show.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think that there really is never an audience because you have to also be a part of it to enjoy it and have a good show. Some people think that audience should never interact and just watch. I feel that the audience is part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of those people who think that if you share the space, then you are part of them. And as an organizer, as producer, director, or even actor, you do need to be able to interact with the audience to a certain extent. So in that sense, even the audience is a performer. Because
right.
as an audience, you don't want to go like haven't showered and you're like tired and you're not going to be cooperative. It's not going to be a good time for you or for the people. So
right.
I feel that a lot of times events would be much more fun if the audience themselves thought, okay, I am going to be there as also a performer. I'm not going to take the stage. That's not my role. My role is as audience. I'm going to be there. I'm going to take in that energy and I'm just going to have fun. And if you could do that, that'd be great. Because my thing, my grief, that a lot of audiences who I think grew up watching TV shows or like, I don't know, something, and they think the audience should be this tight-lipped, sit proper and be like, oh, this is art. Sunny.
It's like specific roles, right? I'm just going to go there as an audience. I'm just going to watch.
I'm going to look pretty. I'm going to be very, very, very analytical. And I'm going to think that this is the most amazing thing or like the most worst thing.
I tend to feel like that when I go to an art gallery. I'm like, okay, I just have to stare at it for a while and just soak it in.
I guess I was lucky. I had a teacher and he told me that poetry, like artwork, you just have to see what the images come in your own head.
Yeah.
So you have to be active and you have to listen and see what comes into your mind. And even with art, you don't have to stare at it. You can be like, oh, this makes me feel good. Okay, sweet. That's a nice color.
Yeah, I zone out. So I think that's good.
Mm.
Sometimes there's so much noise in your head. It's just kind of good not to think about anything.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so I want to highlight and talk to you about two projects that you have done under Makhluk Seni.
Okay.
And the first one is pretty cool. It's called Babaloh. Ah. Right? Yeah, poetry debate. How does that work?
Okay, just to clarify, because I am still learning my Malay language.
Right?
I feel that it's still very much very childlike. So I've been told it should be called Baloh.
Baloh.
Because the Imbuhan bird is not correct there.
Ah, right. So it's Baloh.
Baloh. But at its core, it's a poetry debate. It's been done before. There's a Philippine version of it called Balagtasan.
Okay.
Balagtas is the name of a performer, and it's done in honoring of him. So basically, if I were to call it that, it'd be like Umasan or something.
Mm-hmm.
But poetry debate is simply a format for spoken word poets to come together and decide on a motion or a prompt. So it could be like, which is better to stare at when you're sad, the ocean or the sky? And so the poets would then choose one, will be on either side. They'll be given some time to prep,
mm-hmm.
and then perform their poems. And the poems will be on either side of this prompt, which is better to look at, the sky or the sea.
Right.
And that'd be fun to do.
Okay, yeah, because I saw that on YouTube. Do you intend to perhaps have that in the form of an event?
Yes, the YouTube video was us beta testing it.
Mm.
And so there's a certain format to it now that we found that we really enjoy. We hope to make it to an event one day.
Awesome. And there's another one, which is PACT, yeah? P-A-C-T,
yes.
Which I found out is an e-book compilation by Makhluk Seni, comprising of over 100 written pieces and over 40 illustrations from artists worldwide.
Yes.
So it started out as a Twitter prompt, am I correct?
Yes.
Am I right? Yeah.
Okay, so originally I was just making prompts online and making small posters to post on Twitter. And we got response. People were liking it and they were writing poems on it.
Nice.
Using those prompts, short stories, few poems. And we're like, oh, this is really fun. And so like after a few days, we were like, okay, we're getting a really strong response from our online from the online community. And we're like, why not go all the way for like maybe 30 days or something? And we're like, sure. So I made as many as I could, and I got help from Kia, who is our Makhluk Seni team member, who primarily delves in artwork and also poetry. And we made those 30 prompts. We compiled all of it, and she worked with her own communities of artists, and they illustrated the poems that they liked. The rule was simply, if you like a poem, you draw on it.
Okay.
We don't regulate it. We don't tell you how. We just tell you, if you like a poem, then draw on it. So that's how you choose. And we got that. So we compiled all these artworks together and the poems together and we put it online. And Kia hoped to make it free and available for everyone simply because we wanted it to be accessible as much as possible. We really wanted to share that if you don't have a space, even the online world can be your space.
Right.
The internet can be your space. You can create communities even there.
Exactly, yeah. I totally agree with you because people always think of space in terms of a physical space, but that's not the case, isn't it? It's where you are comfortable and when you find people where you are comfortable to be around with. And that can also be online.
Yes.
Right? So creative spaces can be both offline as well as online. And I really love that. So how, if people want to have a copy of that particular ebook, where do they go?
They can go to our social media accounts on Twitter or Facebook. It's pinned and put on our profile. There's a link they can go to, which is on PayHip, and which allows them to download the file from there. And you get a PDF on your phone.
Is it free?
It's free. It's completely free.
It is free.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Now, are there any upcoming events from Makhluk Seni?
We are planning an event for this year, which is a board game event. We hope to run it around end of November or mid-December.
Okay.
Seeing that November is really hectic with a lot of other events. It's working on the idea of across the table. And what we want to do is we want to engage different people from different communities, different backgrounds, different races, and they communicate over this table, across the table. So it could be in the form of poetry or board games, whatever we can to get them to talk to each other. So that's the current plan for this year. For next year, we do have a few. One is called Weaponized Love Poetry for the Brokenhearted. I believe that people should at least learn how to write a love poem. Some people hate love poems. Some people love it.
Right.
I feel that you should be able to write on it. And a lot of times, writing is a search for the big things and for the big moments. And I'm like, if you can write about the most mundane, normal thing in the world, like every day, my grandma makes me a cup of coffee because she believes when you wake up, you need something warm in your body. If you can write about that, then bigger things in the world are snap. you have to be able to write about the small things first, so that when you have a birthday party, when you forget an anniversary and you need a quick gift, or like you want to make a birthday just a bit more special, or if it's your daughter's wedding night and you want to prepare for something, that skill will be in handy. So you should be able to write love poems for the brokenhearted in any form, in any form of what love looks like. So we're working on that. Currently, I'm just pushing out for the hashtag WLPFTBH.
You might need to work on the acronym.
Yeah. That's one of our very first acronyms that we don't like. It's not a pun. Before that, we have MATI, we have PACT, and 1-2-SOM, which all are acronyms for longer things.
Right.
That's the first one where we're like, we'll try it. Happening in April, and ideas will release prompts too, like PACT, and that'll be the PACT 2.0. And we'll collect all these poems and we'll make it into an art gallery for everyone. It'll just be a lovely mess of love poems in all forms.
And it's completely open to anybody who would like to participate.
Anyone can participate, can come and collab. There will be payment for entrance and tickets because we do need cash to print stuff.
Right.
But like, it's just for us to be able to roll the things over and do more events in the future.
Yeah, it's also for sustainability.
Yes, because we are humans too and we need to eat. Our poetry may be immortal,
yes,
but we are not.
Creatures of the arts need to be fed.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. Our next thing, which is MATI 3.0. It's a recurring concert level kind of event, mm-hmm, where we bring in new performers that we see from the open mics that we've gone to, and we take a stage, we divide it into smaller ones, and the prompt is a light. There's a light conductor who will point to a stage, the stage will light up, and the performer performs. No introductions or nothing, just continual, consistent, different performances non-stop for 1 hour and 50 minutes.
Oof.
Currently looking for a space that maybe a university that has an auditorium that can,
right,
house us, and we will have to collaborate with them.
If you can provide any of that, or you would like to participate in,
yes,
any,
please,
of their upcoming events, then you can always go to their Facebook page, which is
Makhlo Seni.
Now, Tina, I don't know if you know this, but Umar Azizi is one of the finalists for the Malaysian National Poetry Slam happening at the Georgetown Literary Festival this November.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have him here, this is the best opportunity to have him perform a piece for us. So before we wrap up, this is Umar Azizi with Train of Thought.
I write the way the conversations with my grandma go. How she does her best to join in a conversation that seems like it's running away from here, from here, from here, from her. And that she's forgotten the point but asks anyway, using every trick she has to keep a conversation that happened years ago going. I used to have to catch up, fall on her bilingual beat of Bahasa Bukansana Mahupun Sini, and now when I finally caught up, the conversation seems to have left her behind. Running on the same tracks, her lines have ended decades ago, a closed circuit no longer current to the times. Her train of thought fizzles into forgettery, but they always know where they came from, and so does she. And so she goes back to Pulau Pinang, to Medan, to Indonesia, to the murmuring Batu Mama, pouring water over old flames, turning them a darker color. I watch in silence as she finally speaks a language the conversation can follow. Because they both know where it will go. Until then, they let their words travel in the garden of tombstones. When she travels, she'll tie small ribbons around her bag so that she knows it's hers, ever checking departure time so that she doesn't forget where she needs to be. But time has left her behind as conversations around her carry a familiar weight, but she no longer recognizes which bags are hers. The ribbons have long unraveled and now everything looks the same. The conveyor belt keeps the bag turning around and around and around. She watches them closely, trying to pick out which one without picking it up. She always was a classy lady, and to be caught in a moment of doubt just wasn't her fashion. Tok Puan dulu muda tak cantik, orang kata. Tapi mana mau Tok Puan percaya, ada juga untungnya. Self-dependent, she never did rely on her looks, which is why it's painful to watch her keep up appearances, going through the motions of a conversation, but she is merely mouthing the words, never straying too far from the tracks of the trade, the usual markers of an exchange, not wanting to derail the conversation. So to train her thoughts, she fills out crossword puzzles, filling up the empty boxes, writing the letters one by one so that she's never puzzled or at a loss for words. I guess I wish I could engage with her in a conversation that we aren't always talking across the tracks on different sides of the station.
I think this is one of the things that I like about spoken word poetry. It has a very, such a strong narrative element to it. It is storytelling. So thank you for sharing with us that piece of yours.
You're welcome.
Great. So if you just tune in, this is Speak Easy, and we are talking to Umar Azizi from Makhluk Seni, and we have been talking about the need to create more creative spaces, not only for artists, but basically for the creatures of the arts all over.
Yeah,
great. Now, one thing for sure, we do know how to get in touch with you, and that will be on your Facebook, that is Makhluk Seni.
We have Twitter, we have Gmail, Instagram, and YouTube, and they all go by the same name, Makhluk Seni.
That is easy.
Yes.
I wish you the best of luck. I can see you have one thing over the other, and it is amazing because I feel that it is a very, not to say expected, but I guess it's a normal, almost natural transition from having to make space to go and perform your pieces, to having those who are offering you the space for you to do what you want. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. And I have so much optimistic hope for the spoken word poetry KL scene. But that's just me. All right. Now, there is one more thing, Umar, that I need you to do for our listeners before we end our show. And that is to perform the piece that you wrote based on a prompt that was given earlier today.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, we are talking about the poet's hot seat. Now, today's prompt has been chosen in the spirit of the Festival of Lights, Deepavali Vaithakal. Now, today's prompt, Tina knows best. So please, Tina, do us the honor and tell us what the prompt is for this month's episode.
Write a poem dedicated to the different colors of light.
After the break, our guest will be sharing with us his poem, so keep on tuning in. This is Speak Easy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Speak Easy. I am Sheena Bahardin, and also in the studio with me is my producer, Tina Carmelia. I've been speaking to spoken word artist and founder of Makhluk Seni, Umar Azizi, on the importance of making and maintaining creative spaces for artists to come together, share their works, and help each other grow. We have now reached the moment in our show, which I can say by now is a time-honored tradition.
Indeed.
For Speak Easy, yeah? Yes, I'm talking about the poet's hot seat, where our guests perform a poem written in 15 minutes or less based on a random prompt given earlier. For this episode, the writing prompt is...
Write a poem dedicated to the different colors of light.
All right, go ahead, Umar.
The strong need to be asked if they are okay. The brightly lit and steadfast, steadily steadying the world on their shoulders, knees seemingly still, fingers keeping the fabrics of our reality light, because not everyone can handle the heavy, not everyone can be the sunny Sunday morning at 2 p.m. safety net, soft blanket to countermeasure the rainy weather. The strong do this, regardless whether or not they want to, because the strong, sometimes the strong, were not given the choice of being weak or fragile. To diffract into their different wavelengths, we forget that light is made of seven colors, seven different wavelengths differing in frequency and strength. We don't ask frequently enough if the strong have other sides. At what length do they stave off the darkness, the shadow they cast? The shadow we rest in is slowly folding in and off itself. The strong need to be asked if they are okay. There are different colors of light. Darkness too comes in a spectrum. We forget that the Sunday morning at 2 p.m. wants to cry a rainstorm into bedsheets, blame the universe for singing, and that the spectrum to someone who can only look straight, look up, look strong, simply comes off as white, bright, light. A driver can only look straight. The only remember scenery exists when taking passenger seat. Restlessly. Ask the strong if they too are okay. Light is made up of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. When driving, cars on the other side of the road blind you. We need to remember the different colors of light, that light can and will overcome the darkness, and that the darkness comes in a spectrum too. The strong need to be asked if they too are okay.
Yeah, you wrote that in 15 minutes.
Ah. Sure. See, I didn't see the process of the prompt being given, so I'm like questioning the validity of the 15 minutes.
You can ask BFM employees over at the table over there. There was something I was just writing.
Yeah. You were writing, and he actually WhatsApped me, like whatever that he was writing. That was perfect in 15 minutes.
Wonderful.
Wonderful indeed. So, yes, it can be done to write a poem in 15 minutes or less.
Yes. I'll check the CCTV.
Perfect. So, thank you to our guest, Umar Azizi, for joining us in the studio today. It has been a pleasure, Umar.
The pleasure has been mine.
Yeah, and I hope to see you around, perhaps at the next gathering of Creatures of the Nights, PMS.
We would love to have you, and you too.
Oh, there you go, Tina.
I'm speaking to the producer.
Producer and listeners.
We'll just
to listeners too. Please come. We'll appreciate everyone there.
Exactly. You're all invited to go to the next perhimpunan. I'm going back to school. Perjumpaan makhluk seni. We will be back on the first Tuesday of next month with yet another look into all things poetry. If you have any comments, feedback, or suggestions of topics that you would like us to cover on Speakeasy, do get in touch with us by either email at thebiggerpicture@bfm.my or on Twitter at BFM Radio. But you can also personally tweet us at Sheena Din or Tina Camellia. You can also find us on Facebook at BFM The Bigger Picture. And for updates on the Malaysian poetry scene, you can find us on Poetry Cafe KL on Facebook. Now, if you missed any part of this interview, you can always download the podcast on our official BFM app. I am your host, Sheena Bahardin. My producer, Tina Camellia. Original music by Boy Tase, a.k.a. Faris Firdaus. This has been Speakeasy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.